What a good day we've had so far. I tell you, I'm just blessed by Warren and his music and his singing and his guitar. You know, I can't play a radio good, so I appreciate anyone who could play an instrument like that. And then this morning during the Sunday school hour, the young adult class provided the Christmas fellowship, and what a grand time that was. I want to thank everyone involved in making that happen. And the young adult class, thank you so much. It was a really, really good blessing. And then we're looking forward to tonight. I'm looking forward to tonight with the adult choir cantata, the Christmas musical, and that's at 6 o'clock. And really, you don't want to miss that. That's just part of Christmas to come and with your church family and to celebrate and to rejoice and to praise and to worship God. You'll want to be here for that. If you're visiting this morning, I appreciate you being here as well. I always like to speak to our guests. So when you leave, I will be in the foyer this morning. If you'll drop by just a moment and speak to me, I would appreciate that. And I know we've learned a new word. Kevin couldn't help that this morning. He had a new grandson born last night, and he and his family. So let's give little August a hand. So. All right. I've been in a series about names. We're going to leave that today, but let me remind you, in November, we looked at our birth name. Then we looked at our heavenly name that God will give to us one day when we stand before Him. And then December began, and we looked in, we were in Isaiah a couple of weeks. We looked in Isaiah 9 where the child will be named, called Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. We went back a couple of chapters to Isaiah 7 the following week, and where we read that he would be called Emmanuel, and that's my favorite, next to my favorite anyway, God with us. And if we were to go to Matthew 1, we would see that the angel told Joseph not only what's happening with Mary and God, and she was carrying the Savior of the world, but he was going to be called Jesus because he would save us from our sins. But I want to go a little further to make this a little more personal today for us, all right? I want us to look at a Christmas mess this morning. Boy, what a title for a sermon, right? This story is supposedly true. It's about an elementary school and a particular grade school class. And it was this time of year, it was Christmas, and they were putting on a Christmas play. And this Christmas play, so this had to be several years ago, but it included the story of Mary and Joseph. And in part of that, in the story of Mary and Joseph, of course, they come to Bethlehem and they arrive, they come to the inn there in the little town. And in that class was one little boy, he wanted so much to be Joseph. It was his desire, I want to be Joseph in the play this year. And he thought about it, he dreamed about it, he just desired that little part. But when the parts were handed out, the part went to another little boy. He was going to be Joseph. And instead, the little boy I'm speaking of here, he was assigned to be the innkeeper. And you know what? This little boy became really bitter about it. Man, he was angry. He was disappointed. He was frustrated, and he kept all through the rehearsals, and at night he would just go over in his mind what he might do the night of the performance to get even with this little boy who was going to be Joseph. Finally, the night of the performance came, and it was time in the play where Mary and Joseph came across the stage. They walked up to the door of the inn, and they knocked on it, and the innkeeper opened the door and asked them gruffly, "What do you want?" And Joseph answered, "We'd like to have a room for the night." And suddenly the innkeeper threw open the door and he said, "Great, come on in. I'll give you the best room in the house." That's not the end of it, okay? Mary and Joseph were stunned. They didn't know what to do. This was not the line that's supposed to have been said. They weren't expecting this. And suddenly the rest of the play was in jeopardy. What are they going to do? And for a few seconds, the little boy playing Joseph, he didn't know what to do. There was a long silence, but then Joseph looked at the door past the innkeeper. And then he dramatically looked to the left, and he looked to the right, and then he stepped back and said, no wife of mine is going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn. Quick thinking on his part, wasn't it? You know what? I think we've all been in a mess at some time or another. Matter of fact, some of us, we've got a mess going on in our lives right now. In our life, in our family, at work, whatever it may be, our health, it doesn't matter. You know, we can plan for the best, but sometimes the best doesn't happen, does it? How many of us can share stories that way, that the gift that we ordered, that you know, it hadn't come through, it's not here yet? Santa can't figure out the instructions on how to put that little toy together. Grandma's fruitcake, it doesn't taste like fruit and it doesn't taste like cake. Those kind of things. The overpriced Christmas tree dries up. The lights burn out. The cat is electrocuted. I mean, it just goes on and on, you know, as much as you plan. Christmas doesn't always meet our expectations. Christmas can get a little messy sometimes. Now, where do I get that from? The Christmas story. Have you thought about Mary and Joseph a little bit? What it might have been like on that very first Christmas morning? Here comes this baby that nobody was expecting. It was totally unplanned. He's to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world, but you know, everybody's looking for a knight in shining armor. Nobody's looking for a baby. The birth of Jesus Christ, why we celebrate Christmas, is that God's unique design, it messed up a lot of plans that first Christmas. Political plans, religious plans, social plans, personal plans. Think about Mary and Joseph. What was happening? I mean, here they were engaged, they were betrothed. It could have been set up when they were children. We don't know. But anyway, they were betrothed. They're planning a wedding. And maybe Mary was practicing her new last name. And Joseph was working extra shifts to pay for the honeymoon. And they're dreaming of little Marys and little Josephs scampering around the house one day. And then all of a sudden, boom. Let me read it to you once again. It was the sixth month and the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city called in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one." Now, wouldn't you like for God to call you that? O favored one, one who finds favor with God. "The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this and tried to discern and understand what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm still a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born would be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative, your cousin Elizabeth, in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was to be called barren. And she would give birth to John the Baptist. For nothing is impossible with God." Do you believe that? And Mary said, oh man, you got to like this. All right. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel left her. Let me ask you a question. Not only have you ever been in a mess, Has God ever messed with your plans? Have you ever been surprised or caught off guard by something that comes up in life or even by God? When the plans are messed up, like with Mary and Joseph at first Christmas, what does God do? What is God in this? What is God doing in your mess? I think many times for us, when the mess comes up, God is saying, hey, give me your attention. Hey, listen up. Hey, pay attention now. Now, let me make clear one thing. Every messed up plan, every mess is not God's fault, okay? Please hear that. Every mess is not God's plan. God is not the designer of bad plans. He's not the author of evil. When someone is abused or mistreated, God didn't plan that. He's a great respecter of choices and the choices we make, all right? Evil happens, but the Bible assures us that God doesn't plan for evil in our lives. Instead, He has good plans. But when life does get messy a lot of times, it's sometimes, many times, I'm speaking of Howard Foster, it's my decision. I made some decisions that got me into the mess. Or maybe decisions other people made that caused my mess. Or the fact that we live in a broken, messy world where bad things happen to the undeserving as well as the deserving. Sometimes God does mess with our plans because He may have a better plan in mind. Now I want you to, it's like God is saying here, I want you to focus on me now, okay? It's like this big spiritual megaphone from God, like He said in Psalm 81:8, oh Israel, if you would but listen to me, if you'll just listen to me, listen up. Why don't we listen? Why don't we take time to listen to God? You know, that first Christmas, Mary and Joseph did. That first Christmas, the shepherds did. That first Christmas, the wise men did. They listened, they obeyed, they did what God told them to do, and they were involved in the greatest story there ever was. Why don't we listen to God? Chances are, not only this season, but throughout the year, we're just too busy with other things in life that we just don't give God the time and attention that He deserves. We don't give ourselves the silence for our hearts and our ears to be able to listen to God. When I look at my life, for me, I see that most of my pain and most of my troubles, most of my frustration, most of my messes come when I'm too busy. I'm too full of my own agenda to follow God's agenda. And the Bible says this, there is a way that seems right to man. There's a way that we think is the right way to go, but because we're not following God's way, the end of it is not good. Proverbs says in some cases it's even death. Many of us, we're going down a path that seems right, but God says, in the midst of some messy plans that are going on, hey, I want to get your attention. We think that's the right path. You think that's the right path for you, God may be saying, but I know the future. I can see around the corner. I know the detours and the roadblocks, and I love you enough to keep you from where you're going. I can remember one time when my children were small, and I looked out the window of our house, and I saw David and one of his buddies. And we have a small patch of woods in the back of our yard, and at the very front of the woods was a nice little tree that was growing, and I liked that tree, and here was David's friend. Somehow or another, they found a hatchet in my garage, and he was working as hard as he could to cut down that tree. I stopped him in time, thank goodness. You probably remember an experience like that with your children. You remember maybe something like this happened to you. You walk out in the garage, and let's just say some of the neighborhood kids are over, and your kid is out there, and he's got a baseball bat, and they're trying to get something down from an upper shelf there in the garage, and he's swinging at it with a baseball bat to get it down. And you can see where this is leading to, can't you? If you do this, you may be thinking, son, if you do this, it's going to cause you some trouble. It's going to cause you some misery. It's going to cause you probably some guilt and anger and worry and headache here. You could see what lies ahead, and so you stop them. Sometimes God does that in our messes as well. He doesn't want us to go through that, and He wants to get our attention. 2,000 years ago, God used Christmas to get everyone's attention, And he wants to get our attention today. When God messes up our plans sometimes, you know what else it means? Sometimes God has a different plan for us. You and I were made for a purpose. That overriding purpose we read in Romans is that God wants to conform us, to shape us, to mold us into the image of His Son. But then He has a unique purpose for each and every one of us. And when our plans get messed up, when God allows that to happen, the reason is so that He can get us on line with His purpose for our lives. You know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Originally, it was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah to the nation of Israel, but you know, I believe God speaks the same words to us today. Behold, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans, thoughts of peace, not of evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Did you catch on to those two words, hope and future? I believe with all my heart that's God's plans for our lives. Let me tell you just a few things about God's plans for our lives. The first thing I want to share with you is, first of all, God's plan for every one of our lives, it's always bigger than our plan. You see, God's perspective is bigger than our perspective. All I can see is this. God could see that. So obviously, His plan can be greater and greater than my plan. Mary and Joseph, that first Christmas, all they wanted to do was get married, settle down, buy a starter house, eventually have a family. But God wanted them to bless the entire world. God wanted to use them to bless all of history. I'd call that a little bigger plan, wouldn't you? Once again, God made us for a purpose. God wants to use every one of us in here to make a difference in this world. In somebody's life through us. He has plans for our lives. Second thing I believe here that I could share with you is as we look at God's plan, the honest truth is it's a greater plan, but also, you may not like this part, it's a harder plan too. God's plan is not always easy. It comes with difficulty. It's always confusing because it's God's plan and not our plan. And this, by the way, is why a lot of people just sort of cut out on God. They turn away from God because His plan is often more difficult for us. And human nature, what is your nature? What is human nature? We want the easy way out, don't we? How many of you would agree with that? We want the easy way out. Why would we want something that's more difficult? You remember when you were first married and you thought, oh man, the sun rises on and sets on him or on her. And you came to your first Christmas and you're going to give gifts to each other, but you decided that you're not going to tell each other what we wanted for Christmas because we've been married long enough where they know me. They know what I want, right? Anybody else ever made that mistake? I thought she wanted power tools. God knows what we want. He knows our hearts. But yet God doesn't always give us what we want. Life doesn't turn out the way I want it. Why is that true? Why does God let life become more difficult for me? Here's why I think. I've shared this with you before. God is much more interested in our character than He is in our comfort. The truth is, and every parent knows this, if you give your kids everything they want, what happens? You get some spoiled brats, don't you? It spoils them. If God gave you and me everything that we wanted, we would be spoiled brats. So He allows us to go through difficult times in this world. There's heaven. It's waiting. There's not going to be any more difficulties. But in this world, you and I, we're going to have some difficult times. There will be a few messes along the way, okay? And if you've had enough messes in your life, you'll understand this. Our character is developed what? Through the messes, right? Back to Mary and Joseph. Each of them said yes to God. Joseph was told, don't worry about marrying Mary. She hasn't cheated on you. She's a virgin still. She's carrying the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Marry her, Joseph. And he did. The angel told Mary, as we read, you're going to carry the Messiah. You're going to give birth to him. How can I? I'm a virgin. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. God's going to take care of that part. But still, it wasn't easy for him, was it? Because there was the gossip of being an unwed mother. There was all kind of things going on. Do you think it was easy, even when she got along in her pregnancy, it was easy to ride a donkey all the way to Bethlehem? Do you think it was easy to deliver her first child in a barn, in the stable? They must have asked 1,000 times, God, nobody ever told us the Messiah was going to be born this way. Why did you choose this way? Why are you doing it this way? This is your son, and you're going to let him be born here in a stable? That just doesn't make sense. Can you imagine a more humble birth than that? Jesus Christ came into this world as God, but in the appearance of a human, of a man. Why? Because he wanted to pay the price for our sins so that we might have a relationship with God and we could go to heaven one day. He came as a person. It's almost like he came and he said, not only do I want to provide salvation, but I want you to know me. I want you to know who I am. I want to make a difference in your life. God's plan is more difficult. But I'll tell you a third thing about God's plan as well. God's plan, it may be more difficult, but it is more rewarded than any other plan that you'll have in your life. It's an incredibly rewarding plan. It's rewarding in this world. It's rewarding in eternity. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, mind is not conceived or thought or imagined. All that God has in store for those who love him. We want to make our lives a little better. God looks at our lives and wants to use us more. We may say there's no way I'm going to switch to God's plan for my life if I don't recognize by faith that it's a greater plan. Mary and Joseph couldn't have done that. Mary and Joseph switched to God's plan because God came to them and said, I've got a better plan. And they believed God. It wasn't an easy plan. It was not a plan that wasn't without problems, but it was a bigger plan and a better plan than they could ever have imagined. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, some of us are going through difficulties right now. We're going through struggles. We're going through hard times. Christmas has a tendency to turn up the volume on whatever's happening in our lives. And if we're going through a tough time right now, it may seem tougher here at Christmas. And I want you to know that even through these difficult times, God is still working in your life. Here's my last point. Out of all of this, when we're in a mess, and what we can read here in the Bible, God wants our trust. Imagine how God's plan at Christmas tested Joseph's faith. Would you believe it if your fiance said that she was pregnant, but she was still a virgin? I don't think so. Imagine how God's plan tested Mary's faith as well. There wasn't a single person in the entire world who could understand exactly what she was going through because nobody had ever gone through it before. And God's plan was so different from all of theirs and all that Mary and Joseph could do. The only thing they could do was to trust God. Why does God allow circumstances in our lives that doesn't make sense? The reason is he gives us an opportunity to express our faith and to develop our faith. The Bible says there's only one way that we can ever please God. Listen carefully. We don't please God through religion. We don't please God through rituals. We don't please God through keeping rules and regulations. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not difficult, impossible, the Bible says. So God wants you to learn to trust him. So what do we do when our plans fall through? What do we do when the monkey wrench is thrown into our lives? We trust God. We trust God in his wisdom. We trust God in his love. We trust that he loves us and he knows us. and that we can trust that God can bring good even out of bad. Now that's a wonderful promise. You know where it is, Romans 8:28, right? We know that in all things that God works together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Think about it for a moment. We know. It's not guesswork. It's not something we wish for. We're certain. It's a certainty of life. We know that for those who love God. This is not a promise for just anybody. All things don't work together for good for just anybody. If you're going against God, it's not going to work. They only work together for good if you love God. Then the Bible says it can work together for good. It will. Not all things are good. What you want and what you're going through now, it may not be good. You didn't want that. But somehow or another, God will bring something good into it eventually. God can bring good out of bad. For who? For those who are the called according to His purpose, to those who love God. When we commit our lives to fulfilling God's purpose for our lives, He'll work everything, even the bad things that happen in our lives, together. There's a plaque that hangs in a cancer ward in a hospital. And on it are written these words, "Cancer is so limited. It cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace. Cancer cannot kill friendships. It cannot suppress memories. It cannot silence courage. It cannot invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life. It cannot conquer the spirit." And I would add, and it can't defeat you if you trust Jesus Christ to work all things together for good. This Christmas, you may be feeling a little discouraged or lonely or stressed out. Maybe this Christmas you're celebrating Christmas after a divorce or a death or a disability, or maybe you felt concerned or even a little hopeless about something in your life. Maybe for some of us about our future. For some of us, we're there. God says, "Trust me. I don't understand completely how a car works, but I use one. I don't understand the chemistry of digestion, but that doesn't stop me from enjoying a good Christmas meal. I don't understand why and how God does everything in the world, but it doesn't stop me from receiving His forgiveness and discovering His purpose for my life. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand what God is doing in my life sometimes. But I trust Him." There's no better time, I don't believe, to trust, to renew trust, even now, than at Christmas. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for today. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the beautiful Christmas music You gave us, for the fellowship earlier today. I just thank You for this day, for this season. It's joyful and jolly and, Lord, happy and all that. But for some of us, Christmas is not always happy. For many. And, Lord, there was a mess, it seemed like, at Christmas for Mary and Joseph and others' lives. But we see what You did. You brought hope and You brought salvation and forgiveness and everything we need in that little baby Jesus. You still do today for all who open their hearts to Him. So I pray now for open hearts and open arms to receive Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to close our service, but we're going to sing first. And as we sing, it's a time if you want to make a commitment to Christ, you come down. I'm standing here. You can share with me. God is leading you to join our good church this morning. We invite you to come as well. Let's stand together.